Now, the Hebrew word name of God that is connected to this for you is a word called Adonai, which means sovereignty. I mean, its literal meaning is lordship, but more deeply, it's if you take a step into Malchut, you are accepting your sense of sovereignty. So if you just look at these images for a moment, and just let yourself have a felt sense of the different things that happen inside Malkuth. So these are just clusters of meaning. That are all somewhere related to the idea of sovereignty. Don't try to make too much sense of it, just get interested and look at them. And then, just put it in front of you. Next, find the four nines of your tarot pack. Probably best if you just... Actually, it's best if you combine them into one, rather than have them laid out, because otherwise, visually it'll work. So we're going to lay this out in the form of the lower part of the Tree of Life. So have that in front of you as Malkut. Then find the four nines of your pack. Now here we're looking at the sphere called Yesod, which is related to the moon. The word Yesod means the foundation of life. The Hebrew divine name that gets applied to this is the name Shaddai El Chai, which means the almighty power of life. So this sphere, which is deeper in than Malkut and accessed through Malkut, through the body and through the senses, brings us into alignment with the life within us. It's also called the treasure house of images, because here we find in a way the composite image of ourself linked with the image of the world. So as you look at the four nines, again, just look at the four nines in that kind of context. These are clusters of meaning that arise out of Yesod, which is the treasure house of images, which is the foundation of life, foundation of your personal life. Don't be too heavy about it. We're just doing this as a light exercise just before lunch. But just to, we're doing the sal sal flow flow exercise, really. That's what we're doing. We're just learning. Okay. So then, just put this, combine them into like one, and then put that above Malkut. Next, find the four eights.
Eights. You don't find any more because you can do it all at once.
If you want to do it all, we're going up as far as number six. So if you want to do them all, but then you'll be out of phase with me. So what I suggest you do, What I suggest you do as a group person, and not as my partner, is just follow the group exercise for a moment.
All right then.
Or do whatever you want actually. But anyway, so get the four eights.
Eights.
The eights. Come 10, 9, 8. Yes, eights.
Look, the Wheel of Fortune is 10, please.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at the number, at the, I'm not looking at the major trumps at this point. That's a different numbering cycle. So just the number 8. 8 of Pentacles, 8 of Swords, 8 of Cups, 8 of Wands. Now this relates to this, the left-hand sphere of Hod, which is connected to Mercury, connected to the mind, connected to the creation of forms. The Hebrew name that applies to this sphere is called Elohim Tzabaot. Now, Elohim is a feminine name of God. It's the feminine aspect of God that produces forms. Tzabaot means many or hosts.
Sorry, which sphere?
This is Hod. Okay. So Elohim Tzabaot, this is the feminine creative intelligence that creates form and shape. And Tzabaot means hosts or many. So this relates to the capacity of the mind to create multiple forms. Multiple shapes that house energy. So again, just look at the eights. Just slightly get interested in them.
I shouldn't have strength in there, should I?
No. Just wands, cups, swords, and pentacles. Okay, and then place that slightly to the left and above the nines. Coming next to the sevens. Again, just find the sevens. So the sevens is a sphere called Netzach. Sevens really is Netzach. This is Netzach as relates to the feelings. It's the opposite side of the tree to the mind. Its god name is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh-Tzabaot. So it's the same name as Elohim Tzabaot. So it creates many, but this is the masculine Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is masculine as opposed to Elohim feminine, and it represents the creation of many forces, many energies, but not forms.
Sorry, which sphere?
In Netzach. This is the other, so the opposite side from Hod. So this is the right hand side.
Yeah.
So it represents the planet Venus. It's seen as a fiery sphere, whereas Hod is seen as a watery sphere. So once again, just find the sevens, and then again, just look at them. We're looking at sevens at the moment. We're going to go to sixes just next, and we'll end the exercise at sixes for the time being.
Is it the sevens, though?
Sevens is Netzach. That's the. So if you just place the sevens again, just opposite Hod and slightly above the nine. And then find the sixes. That's the sixes. So this is the solar car sphere, right at the center of the tree. It's called Tiferet, which means beauty. Its god name is Yud He Vah He Aloha Vada'at, which means the divine presence made manifest in the realm of knowing.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. It's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh Aloha Vada'at, which means the divine presence made present in the place of knowing. It's the balance point of the tree. It connects up all the different spheres in different ways. It's the key. This is the place of the angel.
So is that saying it comes from Dat?
Yeah, but it's descended from Dat. I mean, Dat is this mystery where you flip from knowing into unknowing. Here it comes out of Dat and descends into knowing, into the knowing shape, right? So that's why it's got that Aloha Vada'at. It comes out of nowhere, out of that mysterious place, but it's manifesting in knowing. Yeah, it is completely. It's the absolute pivot point of the whole tree. So once again, just look at these. Just look at the images. And just notice your relationship with them. And when you're ready, then just place those above the other two, right at the center. And we'll not going to bring out any more tower cards at the moment. We're just look at those five spheres. Again, just lightly, we're just doing sal and flow. That's all we're doing.
Drawn in by the words on the
thought back. Oh yeah, thought back as words. It's a pity they do. That's unfortunate, the words, because they take your attention away from the actual images, and the images in the thought back are really kind of interesting images. So as far as possible, just trying to see past, because they also say terrible things like ruin and indolence. So trying to get past that, to just be with the image.
Could you just refine this down slightly here? Would it be helpful, for example, to put all the pentacles on top,
You could do that. You could play with this. Yeah. Absolutely, no. You could do that. You could put all the pentacles on top. You could have a mixture. You could just, and it would alter your perception of the different qualities that are there.
There are about 64 different ways of actually looking. Yes. At one thing, aren't there?
Yes, exactly. And that's one of the key things about the Tree of Life. If you use it lightly as a way to play with meaning and understanding. Now, this little earnest story about sal-sals and flow-flows and dads, but is exactly a spot-on story for what you're doing. You kind of you're taking basic ideas and you're playing with them, making them more refined, but you're creating relationship with them. Mm. So it's not just a cognitive process. You're creating a body reaction, a felt sense reaction, and of course a mental relationship as well. So it's this extraordinary flexible tool, the Tree of Life, but it depends on these kind of quite playful exercises that are serious and playful at the same time. So if you get a bit, the big danger is getting a bit stuck and obsessive and trying to work it all out, which doesn't work at all. You just get locked in then. But what this gives us is this particular little layout here. So we have at the bottom we have the body. Left hand side we have the mind, the work of the mind. Right hand side we have the feelings. In the center we have this sense of the foundation of our sense of self and sense of world. The collection of images it's very much our conditioned imagination, conditioned sense of ourselves. And above all that, we have the sense of the angel, the sense of this deeper presence that has descended from the mysterious place into the place where things are known. To bring that sense of, it illuminates the world of the known. Okay, so we start at the bottom, we start at the tenth, we start at Malchut, right? This is the body and the physical world. So it's our sense of, in a sense, we approach Malchut, we come into a direct sense of the body and a direct sense of the physicality of things. So it's that's the first step.
A kind of depersonalized sense of the body.
Well, no, not really. You get present. Well, you start to notice your body, right? In a way that, if I'm running around, you get very detached, both from the body. Well, you get attached. And what can happen is that that place called Yesod, which is a place of your sense of images that connects to mind and feelings, and that sense can actually overwhelm the sense of body. When you're running around thinking or feeling something, you can run into things because you're not even paying attention to your sense of body. This is the place of just paying attention to your physicality. You're right that it doesn't have the personal feelings so much in it because you're just trying to find out, here I am sitting here.
Sensation.
I'm sitting here and I'm sitting here in this world, right? So I notice my body and I notice the world around me. So I start to become a little bit more woken up into the present. And in a way, that's why they give, and that's the beginning, in a sense, of creating a sense of agency, which is why they give it this word Adonai, which means sovereignty. So having established a sense of sovereignty, what you then start to do is to notice the movement within the world and within your own soul. So you start to notice the activity of life. Now that takes us into the nines, which is Yesod, the foundation of life. So this takes us simultaneously into our sense of our own subjectivity and the movement of the universe. Now this, if we were completely clear beings, would be just this sense of flow and movement and things appearing and disappearing. But actually, it because of our conditioning, this has become this very conditioned place where we, with our particular cells and flows live. So we have created shapes so actually what we find is that when we, rather than entering a clear pool of or river of life, we're entering into something that's dammed up in places, that's got blocks in some places, it's overflowing in other places. So this is directly encountering our own subjective life and the life of the universe. That's why it has this name of Shaddai El Chai, the almighty power of life. It's also called Yesod, the foundation, because this is the shape that we have created out of our relationship with physicality and our experience of the flow of life. If we go over to the left, we go to the eights, we come to the sphere Hod, which has the name Elohim Tzabaot, which is the creation of forms. So this represents the mind and the capacity, not just the mind, but the mind of the universe also, which has the capacity to create shapes. And the Elohim Tzabaot means there's lots of shapes, hosts, many things, all the multiple, that capacity of the mind to proliferate, to create shape upon shape.
Making sense of too.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly that. Yeah, because then you create, as you make sense, you create a shape that holds it. Now, opposite and balancing it is the seven. This is Netzach, which represents the whole of our feeling nature and the felt nature of the universe. So here we have a very similar word, but it's the feminine creative energy on the left side. It's the masculine creative energy Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the many forms of it's the multiple energies, the many intentions, in a way you could say, lots of impulses. So this is a place of many impulses that haven't yet come into form. Now, what happens normally is that the form creating and the impulse creating aspects of our beings come together with that foundation part of us, which is the place where we find all our images, and they create a dynamic system that is constantly in movement, like the spinning wheel we were looking at earlier, that creates our sense of self and sense of world. So, you know, if the Sal has bitten us, the sense of when we encounter a Sal can be fear. And that particular Sal may be completely innocuous, but we react to our internal image of the Sal that we have created. Similarly, if we have a kind dad, a nice dad, nice, so men, we see a man, oh, that's nice. Or if we have a horrible dad, men, bad dad, we move away from. Right, so there's a whole, and this wheel has enormous kind of momentum behind it. Now, if that wheel is not linked to the body in the body and the physicality of the world, it just continually spins, creating more and more forms. It's kind of nature to do that. So But what interrupts that? We'll look, and this afternoon we'll look at some other things that help interrupt it. But the middle pillar in particular interrupts this because it takes it into a different arena. So when you become present in the body, first of all, you just start to notice and you start to pay attention to, and therefore slightly separate from, the interplay of mind, feeling and image that you get in the lower spheres. As you deepen that understanding and deepen your ability to still that wheel, you start to perceive the sphere that's above it, which is the sphere where the sixes are, which has this very interesting word called Yud-He-Vav-He, a lower Vedat. Now Yud-He-Vav-He in this instance means the power, means the quality of beingness or awareness made manifest in the known. Now the known is all this stuff. Thought, feeling, image, body sensation that we can, and as awareness touches that, it illuminates it. That's why it's the sphere of the sun. So it makes it more, rather than it's sort of, you can imagine it penetrating something, making it more lucent, seeing through it more clearly, understand, bringing a deeper kind of sense of knowing, rather than being caught up in our reactivity. So for example, if we're scared of cells, we start to recognize that maybe this cell is a nice cell. And if we relate to the nice cell and the cell is nice to us, that starts to change that inner image that says cells are dangerous. So that's the function here of this, of working with this structure. It starts to slow down this spinning wheel which has this momentum of our life, and we start to create a wider and a deeper context for it. And we can get interested in different parts of it. We can get interested in our physicality and how does that, what happens if I connect that to Yesod, or what happens when I connect my physicality to the mind? What happens when I connect my physicality to the feelings? What happens when that intuitive sense connects to mind, to feeling, and to the pool of imagination?
Yeah. Tens were body,
yeah.
Eights were mind, sevens were feelings, sixes were self.
Well, nine is a sort of the pool of our personal life, right? So, it's filled with images and conditions, but this is our our pool of life. Because probably the best. That's what the word is, yesod, which means foundations, but it's like the foundation of our personal life. So, it's what we do with our life energy, you know, ultimately. And a sense of the energy of the universe. Yeah.
So in the temperance angel, I mean, I know there's no bad or good, but I always sort of say the pool as being like what refreshes the dry ground. But in a way, it's in this way of looking at it, it's the ground that's solid and the water that's the illusion.
Yes, that's right. And what the angel is doing is cleaning the pool. Right, so it's mixing the pool. It's pouring water in. So it's mixing the waters. So it's bringing water from another place in some ways, and so it's clarifying the pool. Because actually, what the pool of our life is intended to be is to be this still pool that reflects the lucent images from deeper down, and then enables those images to come into manifestation. And we do that all the time, but we've also got these images that take that inner light that's coming through and twist it. Or so, for example, if we're frightened of cells, instead of developing a relationship with dogs or other animals that's a really nice relationship, we intensify our fear of cells because we never go near them, or we behave as though we're frightened of them, which means they respond to us aggressively. So you have these feel like little worlds, little images that have got their own creative life that take the kind of inner energy and push it in a different direction based upon our experience of the past.
It's amazing that example with dogs. because I see it again and again, it's so true.
Yeah.
When we meet our dogs, if they have an expectation of something, dogs will react.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because it's a link between fear and aggression, isn't it? Because actually, when somebody gets frightened, they also get aggressive. And what your dog picks up on is a dog picks up on a potential enemy. So of course, then responds to that.
So
yeah,
yeah. Whatever age. Person
yeah. No, absolutely.
So just the act of coming into the body brings us into what's happening and awareness.
It does, but it's but
we do it all the time.
But it's, of course, it's overwhelming. But of course, it's overwhelming. That's the other thing that happens. Our we've got this huge momentum of these shapes. So this is why when Fern was saying yesterday, but I say the same things all the time, which I sort of do really. But the reason that we do that is because it's very hard to keep aware of these things. We get overwhelmed by the kind of that inner dialogue that's constantly recreating itself. And what these images and what this whole system is for, in some ways, is to enable us to really focus our attention on aspects of our experience, so that we illuminate it and become present in it and release the trapped forms. Because that's part of what needs to happen. Those forms that that are created by this constellation of energies in Yesod, which kind of need to be, the form needs dissolving, so we come into a clear experience of actually what's happening now. So that, because Yesod is the foundation of our being, should be this clear pool of refreshing life, which takes the thoughts and the feelings and the intuitive impulses of Tiferet and brings them into full expression in Malkut. And so they become, and that's when we have the activity of the icon, the image or the idea that illuminates, that takes us deeper, as opposed to the activity of the idol, which blocks the light and keeps it tethered, keeps our experience tethered in the past.
There's that curious thing I saw this in my mother's book. She was very homophobic, but she had a friend who was gay.
Yeah.
She really liked him.
Yeah.
Couldn't hold that.
No, I know.
Just drop back into
that's that sad, difficult thing, isn't it? Where somewhere, if she could have let that idea of he's really lovely and I really like him, if she could let that idea combine with her image of homosexuality, something could have shifted for her. Mm. But of course, it's kept separate. And
she dropped back into
it. Yeah, that's right. Now that's exactly that's the persistence of these things. Now the reason why these things persist like that is that because this place that's called the foundation of our being is deeply linked with our sense of stability.
Mm.
So the image is so stability, it's intended to remain stable. Mm. So that's why things flop back, because if things are destabilized, we have to somehow feel held enough to be able to manage the transition, the death and resurrection process that happens in transition.
So presumably that touches the third level of death and time.
Yeah, well that comes in as well. That's right. Yeah, it totally does. Yeah, well, that's exactly what happens. Things start to shake up a bit, yes, exactly. So what you start to see, we'll look at this after lunch, when you start to look at the things that happen once you move beyond this cycle, that's exactly the things that you've got the image of the angel working to kind of purify things, and then alongside it you have the falling down of the tower, you have the experience of encountering the devil, you have the experience of death. And then on the outer sides of it, you have this image of the hanged man, where your sense, your perceptions become turned inside out. And the other side, you encounter directly the spinning wheel of the universe and have to take risks and trust you're going to be okay. Okay, that's enough for now, because we'll kind of need to have a lunch. But we'll come back to this after lunch. And so leave your cards where they are, because I'm going to do something more than this afternoon. And
the place of stability is sort of this nebulous place, isn't it?
It isn't really nebulous, though, is it, that place? It's actually incredibly solid. Because our sense of self and sense of how the universe is incredibly